eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I didn't set off to go undefeated. I set off to win the championship.
Look, the boys, all the boys need more work. That's just the bottom line.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Title 24. I'm Ricky Carmichael. That's Ryan Villopoto. Title 24 presented by NBC Sports and, of course, our great sponsors, United Motorsports, Voxo USA, and, of course, Quadlock. We appreciate you guys. We've got a great show. Man, some great racing, some drama, as always, from Red Bud. I wasn't there. Looking forward. I will be at Southwick. RV, you'll be there, too, as well. But you didn't go to Red Bud, did you?
Did not go to Red Bud, was able to, you know, watch it on TV, got some great racing to watch. You know, Red Bud to me looked like one of the best tracks this year so far, best prep job. I know everybody, as all the racers, really, really like Red Bud. 4th of July weekend, so it's a big, crazy mayhem party out there for in Lot B, guys. If you've never checked it out, you got to check it out one day. But it was insane. It was a good weekend. Good, great weekend.
Lot B has definitely got it going on. One thing I liked about Red Bud RV is, like, I felt like it had all elements of a track, right? It was kind of jumpy, had some sand sections, some fun tight corners, some sweeping corners, like every element that you could ever think that a motocross track would have, it had it. And that's what was always fun. And of course, you said the vibe of that place is just unreal. The fans are absolutely epic there.
It was really good. You know, I think it looked like the hillsides were packed with fans on 4th of July weekend. So, it was a great race to watch, and we'll dive right into this thing, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Go start with the 250. I mean, I thought that Hayden was capable of winning a national. Obviously he got some help. Uncharacteristic mistake and just first turn pile up with Hunter, and Hunter going out was the second moto. Always hate to see that. Hopefully he'll be okay, but definitely, I think it definitely tightens the screws up on the championship. From your perspective, how do you think that the dynamic changes with Hunter going out, Hayden getting his first career win in the class, like, how do you think the championship battle changes from here on out?
Well, you know, obviously, Hunter coming into Red Bud, into last weekend, had quite a bit of a points cushion on the rest of the field, but missing. He's got four wins. Hayden's 11 points down now. And, you know, that's definitely a lot closer, tighter race than it has been so far this year. And, you know, I definitely think that Hunter's starting has been okay. It hasn't been great. You know, this is, I think, the second first turn pileup he's been into. Colorado, he was into one.
That's right.
You know, so we see this kind of happening. Here it is at Red Bud here. You got Hayden getting a massive hole shot, and then you got Hunter getting locked up into the back there. And, and not being able to recover, not being able to get back out there, and big old pileup, you know, very fast section at Red Bud. I like how they actually went back to the old start guys. You know, Motocross the Nations a few years ago, they ran it just straight down. You can see everybody trying to get up. You know, you got Hunter down, in who else is there? I got a KTM guy. We have Reynolds down also. Yeah, Reynolds down. And, you know, so I like the old style. That's the start that me and you grew up racing at Red Bud. And then there's Hunter going into, you know, the Alpinstars mobile medical unit to get checked out. But total bummer. He needs to, I don't want to sit here and say he needs to work on his starts, but putting himself in a little bit better position coming into those first turns. This is the second time it's happened this year for Hunter. So definitely need to improve his starting position. Whatever that looks like, I don't know, being a little more cautious or just purely just getting the whole shot right to get him out of those scenarios. Because man, another one of those, or like I said, we're only 11 points. He's only 11 points ahead now of Hayden. So, you know, I know this is kind of like typically the halfway, right? This is halfway of the season now. Halfway, so getting close.
I feel like there's going to be a conversation, RV, of like, oh, is this, you know, is this going to be the opportunity that Hayden was looking for? Does he go to the next level? And I think for sure this is going to help him. I truly believe that. Now, like, you know, he's like what you said, we saw the points there. He's only 11 points back halfway through. But I just don't feel like he has the raw speed just yet for two motos every single weekend. So maybe this is that breaking point. I feel like we all have been we've been in situations in our career, RV, where it's like, okay, we're looking for that next step. Right, to where he can run Hunter pace both motos every single weekend, every track that we go to. And maybe this is that breaking point. Maybe this is that next step. I think it would be cool to see that. It's going to be a lot of fun to see if that happens. You can see right here, we're watching the reaction from when he when Hayden wins. You got the family there and then the epic crowd. But I just wonder, like, that's what I'm looking for. Like, is this going to be the next thing that catapults him to in his career? And he takes that next step because, you know, I don't think he's faster all the time compared to Hunter. And the points show that. But now that he's been given a gift, maybe that's that next level. Do you think he's ready for that next level and he's going to get to that stage? Or
I would say no. On one hand, I would say no, he's not ready. And the reason why I'm gonna say no, he's not ready is if he's up till this point has been very inconsistent. So honestly, he's been one of the more consistent riders out there for most of the motos. Yes, he's had some, you know, some fifths, some eighths, some, you know, a couple, you know, motos that aren't great. But as far as his consistency as we go through the season, he is right there. And now with this little bit of a gift, to your point of him, you know, Hunter going down on the first turn, not coming back, not being able to rebound and get back into that second moto, we see the points gap only 11 now. I do think that's going to give him confidence. I think he's going to potentially, with confidence becomes with when you become to ride a little bit better. And his speed is very close. I don't think he's got Hunter's skill per se just yet. He's a rookie. We, you know, if he makes a mistake, it wouldn't be shocking to me or probably to you or anybody else because he is a rookie. But right now he's not riding like necessarily a rookie. He's you know, now the dangling of the carrot is much closer to him. It's in reach now. So one little mistake from Hunter, another you know, first turn crash or bike problem or whatever the case may be, it's motorcycle racing. We have to look at all the factors that come into play, and some factors has nothing to do with the rider. It just happens, right? So if we have another one of those come into play, who knows what we see here with the points and in the spread and how close Hayden can get to him. But yeah, he's riding phenomenal right now, man. It's for a rookie and in his first full season. Really, if you ask him,
I mean, I go back to, there was a moment in time he wasn't even going to race pro this year. Remember? And then like all of a sudden he just shows up at Houston Supercross for the opener.
Yeah. And he's doing a good job managing the schedule, right? I mean, he just did eight rounds of Supercross and a couple weeks off, and now we're halfway through motocross. And, you know, you can see it on some of the guys out there where it's like, man, you know, it's getting long on the tooth for racing the series, all of that. But when you're in Hayden's position, you're looking for more weekends because it's coming. I want to say it's coming easy for him, but it's the weekends are becoming very fun for him. He just got his first overall, and you know, I guarantee he's jonesing for more.
Yeah, for sure. That is a great point. And all of our viewers and listeners, whether you're watching it on YouTube or Peacock or you're listening to the podcast on your applicate, whatever podcast application you listen to, I think for someone like myself and RV, like to expand on what he's saying, is there's moments in your career where you know, like say you're running podiums all the time, and then, you know, over time you get better, then those podiums become seconds and those seconds becomes first. And I feel like, and that's what I'm looking forward to see and interested to see. And it's intriguing to me to see if Hayden is in that spot. Yes, he's shown brilliance, and yes, he's shown speed. He's done a great job in his rookie season, but I feel like he's at that stage now, especially given this little gift from Hunter's mishap. This could be one of those moments where he elevates to the next level. I already think that he has things, and you mentioned it, that there's some things you just can't teach. I mean, we could help riders and we could coach riders. It's some things you just are out of our control. And I think he has that. He's super special in that regard. And so that's what I'm looking for. I think this is one of those moments. So it's going to be exciting to see that. And man, it could go down to the wire here. So awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's going to be very interesting. And let's say it plays out the exact kind of the same, and we see a lot of the same till the end of outdoors. But I think the other one thing that we have to pay attention to is the last three shootout rounds too, because they'll get a little bit of a break coming into that. It's back to kind of Supercross, but a bigger platform of Supercross, not a typical stadium style. Hayden's probably going to come out swinging for the last three, you know, shootout rounds, man. I think he's going to be on fire there.
Yeah, I think he's going to continue to get better every single weekend, you know, just, I mean, he has been, and every time he's in a situation that he can learn from, that's just going to make him that much better. Like you say, you know, his riding is going to continue to get better. He's going to know what to expect. He's going to know how his bike needs to be. And that's just going to help him coming on those playoff rounds for sure. You know, I just think if, to your point, Hunter's got to put himself in better positions. I think he's got to play a little defense on the start just in case he doesn't get the whole shot, to where he's in a good spot, to where he's not going to get in his first turn pileups and kind of use his experience. I still give Hunter the advantage just because of his knowledge. You can see right here, we're watching some footage. He's talking with his mechanic of looking.
Trying to pick eight.
This is the Moto 1 when he actually got the whole, he got the whole shot there. So I think he's going to have to play a little defense, especially now. I think he can't get complacent against a guy like Hayden. You don't want Hayden to get any more confidence than he already has. You know he's going to get better. So it's going to be interesting to see. Outside of this, there's some other drama. We had a Red Cross flag here with Justin Cooper. We had a Joe.
Yeah.
tell me your thoughts. I mean, I know we already talked about the Red Cross, but what do you think about this?
Yeah, no, I did watch it. Justin Cooper, right here after mechanics area, there's this W. You can see the Red Cross out to the right, the lights going. That technically is we've raced that. That is a total blind jump. You can see the rider down to the left there. So pretty sketchy spot, you know, and clearly didn't see it. So I would say that to me, you know, because of the jump, because of the severity of kind of how far you fall down, because you jump down that step down and definitely a very blind spot. And, you know, you got to pay attention to those red crosses, you know. Now, I do think, I'm going to say it again, I do think that if you're going to pull a red cross, if you're AMA and if you're on the radio, the headsets, you're telling them to pull a red cross, a red cross needs to be more on the track. Like you could see where the guy that was flagging the Red Cross is quite a ways off the side of the track. I would like to see him standing more on the track, like where the yellow marker is, so that it's very more visible, especially if it's the severity of pull. If it is to where you're pulling the Red Cross, you better get that sucker out on the track. It's not just a yellow flag. If that was a yellow flag scenario and you were standing there, I don't think I would have a problem with that. But because it was a red cross and they were 3-4 feet off the track waving it, that guy needs to be 1 foot kind of on the track, paying attention to what he's doing.
Yeah, it needs to be, there definitely needs to be more urgency if it's a red cross flag and it's
exactly, you know, that's, isn't that what they're for?
That's right.
So I do see that, you know, and I think we have another little replay too. Also, I think of, you know, now that we're talking about points being docked and things like that, we got Joe Shimoda coming up to the finish. Here's the sand whoops up to the finish, pops off the track, gives her the berries.
Yeah.
And, you know, maintains the pass. And then, you know, you know, part of the rules are, I mean, if nobody doesn't know, is you're, if you're off the track, you have to maintain or hold a fairly slow pace. You can't be gaining speed off the track.
You can't be clicking gears and giving her full gas, right?
Exactly. So
he's up the back, pulling a wheelie, hopping back on. You're like, come on, man.
You know, it's interesting. I know how the race, you know, as a racer, you get you know, you're like, man, I just jumped off the track. Got to get back on the track as fast as possible. All those things. But, you know, we've all been racing long enough. We know what the rules are. You can't just blow off the track and then stay in it. You know, you gotta crack the throttle. And, you know, I don't think anything would have happened to Joe in there if I didn't see it. I know it's a star rider. I don't know what rider, who exactly it was, but comes up. If that guy would have just dropped, if he would have followed suit and got in behind the star rider, is that Justin Cooper? I think if he would have just followed suit, jumped in behind him, I doubt something would have probably been said. But yeah, nonetheless, he gave her the berries.
Yeah. He goes by. Cooper lost 5 points. Shimoda was docked one position. He went from 7 to 8. Moving on to the 450 class RV. And I know it's great to see Anderson back. And of course, Chase Sexton back. Hated to see Coop going out and not being able to race, but nevertheless, Jet continues to go undefeated. He's on track to go 22-0. Dude, I've said it a couple times. You've said it a couple times. I feel like there's sometimes we're trying to make something of like, oh my gosh, look at this scenario this weekend. He's gonna get beat, and I almost feel like it's fake. Like this fake story that we're building up and trying to build drama where there isn't. I don't even think, like, do you agree? This guy, he's going to ride to the speed he needs to ride to win the race. And if he needs to step it up, he's going to step it up. And I don't see, it's going to be hard for anyone to beat this guy outside of a mud race, in my opinion.
I 100% agree. I don't think we've seen Jet's all out, you know, battle, dogfight. He really hasn't been put in that situation yet, you know? So, the way he rides, the way he's able to, the pace he's able to run at, which right now is even at his, call it 80%. I'm going to just use it. It's 80%. He's still got 20% in the bag. That 80% is still better than 100, the other guys that show up at 100%, in my opinion. I don't think we've seen Jet have to really get into a dogfight and really put it out on the line yet. I think he will arise to pretty much any occasion. And here's the other thing too. If let's say Jet does end up getting beat, he knows his points situation. He knows where he's at. He knows his ability or how much better he is than the rest of the guys right now. So if he ends up getting beat, he's going to be like, hey man, I didn't have it. I felt like it wasn't worth pushing the risk. I mean, everybody would love to go 22-0. I mean, I've never gone 24-0, Ricky. I know you've gone 24-0 twice. That's a huge, you know, that's a huge kind of accomplishment. It's something that really doesn't happen very often. It doesn't get talked a lot about, but still, like, there's only 3 dudes in that category, and you're in it twice, James in it once. So to go 22-0, I mean, it's a huge, huge accomplishment. But I also think that the way these kids were raised and their racing ability and how well they think when they're racing, I think he's only going to do that 22-0 if things really all fall into place. If not, big picture is obviously the championship.
Yeah.
He's going to play those cards.
And that's what he should do. Right. I think 22-0. So like I always tell people, like, when I went undefeated, it's not like, and you know this, because I think our racing approach was the same. Big picture, we'll do whatever we got to do to win the championship. If we got to take some seconds, we'll take some seconds, but we're going to go like hell and try to win every race that we can. But I didn't set off to go undefeated. I set off to win the championship, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like Jet is the same way. He just happens to be winning every single moto. So if he gets beat by one time, or if he gets beat in a moto, to your point, you said it exactly the way I would say it. I don't think that he cares that much. He wants that title. That's where the big money's at, right? So
exactly. I mean, I think you come back to the truck, say he gets beat and he goes, he'd be like, damn, we had 22-0 right there, you know, and then he brushes it off. You know, I don't think it's going to be something that he would dwell on. You know, the goal is to win a championship in the 450 class, in the premier class, for yourself and for the manufacturer. And when that's done, that's really all that matters. And then the feather in the cap is 22-0.
Well, what do you do though? Like, what do you do if you're a guy like Ferrandis, or you're a guy like Sexton, you know, or if you're Anderson, AC, all these guys, like what the hell do you do to like close the gap and try to beat this guy? Like what's your approach if you're racing him? How are you going to try to beat him?
Oh man. Honestly, I felt like Redbud's track, go back to Redbud, I felt like that was, you could move around on that track the most you could so far. I thought it was the best prep track. I thought it was, if anybody was going to be able to challenge Jet, it was a good weekend for it. I just feel like with the Colorado High Point, those really technical rounds, I don't think those guys can match Jet's technical side of it at that speed. It's got to be more of a track where you can kind of hang it out a little bit. Along with Jet, he's going to hang it out too, because the track promotes that. But right. Dylan, Anderson, Dylan made a phenomenal charge there for a lap and a half and stayed with him for sure. But he couldn't latch on. You can see Jet look back there. Dylan rode really well, but Jet was able to just manage the gap and just slightly ever so pull away down, you know, as the laps clicked on. And the boys need more work. That's just the bottom line. All the boys need more work to knock him off the top step.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. Anything can happen. I don't think that any track we go to the rest of the year is going to be a challenge for Jet, and where I think another rider is going to have an advantage. Because I think he's that good. He's proven it time and time again. I think with the other guys getting better, I think almost makes things a little bit better for Jet, because I think it keeps him focused mentally, right? Like he has to pay attention to what he's doing rather than not having to go out there and really fret on anyone. He doesn't want these guys to beat him, and they're good enough to where it keeps him on his toes, which makes him in tune in the moment all the time. So,
I don't know if it seems like he's getting, since he's moved to the 450, I don't know if it's just bike power, whatever the case may be, he's putting himself in, I think his starting positions have been better than we've seen on the lights bike. Yeah. You can't give somebody like Jet the whole shot like that, you know, and even so, let's say one of these next couple rounds, we see Jet pull a start around, you know, 8th, 10th. Now we'll have to see. But right now, so far, we're halfway through and we haven't really seen a 10th place start and come up to the lead, you know? So I think if anybody has a chance, they got to be 100% on, and yeah. Jet's going to have to falter on the gate and give those guys, give whoever's leading a little bit of leeway there, to where they can run the first 10 minutes, sprint and get away and see what that gap looks like after 10, 15 minutes. And then we have to see where Hunter or where Jet is, how far he's come through the pack. I think that's their only chance if they're going to try to beat him, or going to beat him, is a mistake on Jet's part on the line.
I agree with you 120%. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. I think that's enough talk about recapping Redbud. nevertheless, we'll just, that's why they race RV, right? See, that's why
every weekend.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you got to check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
But man, we got some great fan questions. But before we get going with that, let's knock out our quad lock question of the week. And this one's kind of has nothing to do with Red Bud, for that matter. It's more of about a person. And I liked this because I think it's something that we can kind of elaborate on. So this comes from Instagram, and it's J Smithers 505. J Smithers, Jay, thanks for being a loyal listener and viewer. We appreciate you very much. He says, do you think Ken Roczen will regret not racing all of motocross rounds this year? And like I said, it's not a long question, but I think it allows RV and I to kind of share what our thoughts are of why maybe he will or won't. But I'm going to give you the first crack at it. Do you think he's going to regret not racing all the motocross rounds this year? And if you do think he is, tell us why. Or if you don't think he is, tell us why.
Okay, so you know Kenny is, we know Kenny has opted to do World Supercross, right? And look, let's face it, we know Kenny's been in the sport for quite a long time. I think we'll probably see him out there another, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say another 2 years probably, I think he races. Yeah. If I'm Ken Roczen and I'm 30 years old or 31 or however old he is, I know he's around that age bracket there, you're trying to, you know, maximize your career, maximize your earnings, and also maximize the fun side of it, you know? And I think with a platform, say like World Supercross, you know, I feel like for him, we all as racers are looking for, I guess, the easier way out. Let's call it that way. Less racing, right? And I feel like, but we also, we know we've signed contracts with our manufacturers, with all of our sponsors to race US-based racing. So now there's a different platform out there to go racing on and a fair amount of money on the line in that series. Also, I do feel like at 29 years old, I don't think Kenny was going to win an outdoor championship. I'll say that now. I don't think he's going to regret it, honestly. I know he rode phenomenal at High Point. So far, we've had the closest race between Jet and another rider, and that was Kenny and Jet. So he rode phenomenal at High Point. But honestly, I think he's looking for the fun. He's looking something to keep him busy, to keep it fun, to still be able to make a good chunk of change. And no, I don't think he regrets it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I was going to say similar to what you said about he's just for fun. I hate to say this, but I'm going to back up. I'm going to say it anyways. I don't think he's going to win a Supercross championship. again, or he's never won one. I don't think he's going to win a Super Cross championship. He wasn't probably going to win the motocross championship. I know that's not going to be a popular opinion, but that's, if I'm a betting man, I'd probably be, you would be right. And so the approach is different. When you're not racing for championships, the approach is completely different. You're basically doing it, to your point, to have fun and make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's elected to do. His sponsors are cool with it. Hey, and he's having fun. I like the position he's in. It's cool to see him enjoying having fun. He's had a lot more fun than you and I did. You and I have been open and honest about that. We both wish we could have enjoyed it ourselves a little more, but our MO is different. And what he's doing, there's nothing wrong with what Ken is doing. So I love that question. And the reason that we picked it for the question of the week is just because it just gives everyone and our listeners a different side on what we believe Kenny's approach is. So when you're going out there and you want to win championships, the mindset is different. And you know what? He's 29, like you said, and he's just going to ride this thing out, probably stash away as much cheddar as possible and live a happy life after. So that was a great question.
Ricky, I think the one thing is too, is where Kenny's at too, is if he can still show up at a high point and get a second battle jet, if he can go to the last three playoff rounds and put himself up on the podium or win one, let's say, if he's kind of like a jack of all trades, he can bounce around and stay relevant by being in the fight for a win, for a race win in each one of those disciplines. I think his career, we may see him race longer than two more years. And like I said, I don't know what his actual plan is for racing, but let's say 2 years. I think if he can stay relevant and in for those, fights for some wins, podiums, things like that, and all those different disciplines or series, I see that. What not a better way to kind of go out. I'm not sitting here saying he doesn't think he can win a championship, because he races Supercross to win a championship. But honestly, I don't think he's going to either. But as long as he stays up there in the top three, top five, and he's a contender, I think his fan base grows. I think he can still make the revenue he wants to make, and he's having a hell of a time doing it.
Yep, no doubt, no doubt. Well, thank you, Jay Smithers. We appreciate you. Get into the direct message, and we'll line you up with Quadlock, get you dialed in. Quadlock will send you some cool stuff. So Quadlock, great company. And they were just on the they had some signage on the winner of the NASCAR race in Chicago.
Nice.
Yeah, with Trackhouse Racing. That was cool. That guy coming over and just absolutely putting on a clinic for the guys, every weekend racers in NASCAR. So that was a lot of fun to watch that inaugural event. A couple more questions. Let's see here. What do you think about this one, RB? This comes from Jamie_T187 says, should the tradition of 24 motos have been kept for this year? Will it return in the future?
22, 24, I know it's 11 rounds. It's one race shorter. It doesn't really matter. I think if you can go 24-0 like you did and James did, so gnarly. If you can go 22-0 in Jet's case,
it's still gnarly.
It's just so gnarly, like, again.
Right? Like 22 to me is the same as 24. Like
exactly. And not to mention, we have three playoff rounds after that. So yeah. I know it's a different series, but it's kind of lumped into as a whole now. We're with Pro Motocross and Feld partnering together to build the playoff rounds. Honestly, they have two more races than we had previously, right? So it's here nor there. I don't think it matters. Ultimately, I would love to see a little more of a break. I'm going to go out and say I'd love to see a little more of some off time for the racers. I would have loved to have it when I was racing. I would be totally okay with seeing like 9 outdoors and then even shortening Supercross so the teams and the guys, I mean, that's a whole nother topic that we can probably, have 30 minutes on, you know, like another show. But yes, I do think we could shorten outdoors. We could shorten Supercross a little bit, and we could give everybody the time off that, that everybody needs and heal up and things like that. But like I said, that could be a whole nother topic, another show.
Hey, what about that? That's good. I like this one, and I want to hear your reaction for this, because I kind of think it's crap too, and why riders don't do this. But this is a good one. This is from J Pro Baja 11. He says, why can't the riders tell the public what changes they are making to their bikes? Like, looking back now, RV, from when you were racing, like, isn't it stupid how no one says anything, bro?
honestly, Ricky, I think it's everybody knows what the screwdriver, when the screwdriver comes out, we know what we're doing. There's only four ways you can go. You can go stiffer, softer, faster, slower. And that's what for the fork and the shock. And honestly, I would love to see a communication, at least for maybe not the racing side of it, but for race day live and things like that, where we can educate the watcher, the viewer, a little more on what's going on. Oh, you know, like, hey, we're coming on. Kenny wants it to be four softer. Boom, and you do it. And I think like NASCAR's us. They come in, they talk about it. Communication with the driver and with the crew chief. I really like that aspect of it. I think it would be awesome for our sport. Now, I just said, I don't think we necessarily need it during the main events, during the qualifiers, but practice leading into as the whole day goes through and what people are changing. I think it'd be great to see. It's like I said, it's nothing. Look, a lot of the suspension guys, I mean, it's just like they go from truck to truck to truck. What I mean by is one year they'll work at Cowie for 3 years and then all of a sudden they're at Honda, and then all of a sudden they're at KTM, and, you know, WP suspension versus Showa versus KYB. It's all the same. It really, really is all the same. I think it'd be great to have it open.
I do too. I think it's incredibly frustrating for me too. It's like, dude, just tell us what you're doing. Like, it's no big deal, and it's fun, and you're going to educate the learners. It's not like you're going to change something for the moto, right? And then the other dude's going to go change something. I mean,
well, it's so specific to each rider and motorcycle. So if I went four stiffer on my forks and you went four softer on yours, it's because your valving is completely different than mine. Number one, your chassis is different. Your whole bike is a Honda versus a Yamaha, or a Cowie versus a KTM, aluminum frame versus a steel frame. It really does not, it doesn't coincide at all. So I'd love to see it. I think it'd be great. I think the fans would really dig that. They'd have a little more insight, like actually when it's happening and not waiting for, you to come down on the floor and be like, hey, this is what they're doing. They're changing the rear tire for the moto, you know, or they're cleaning the mud off, or whatever the case may be. I think they should have more in depth coming throughout the day and educate the viewer more.
Yep. 100%. One question, I can't remember who it was from. I'm going through my questions right here. It was something about a scoop tire. And do you think like this, do you think basically we had this?
I have it right here, Ricky.
Okay,
I have it right
here. Sorry, dude. I couldn't.
Yep. It's JPW5286. Do you think with the paddle style tire is cause for possible injuries with not enough side traction? I saw Justin Cooper and Jeffrey Herlin's bike kick out and cause a crash. Is it time to go back to more conventional knobby tire for rider safety?
Again, I've never ridden with the scoop tire. I think you have ridden with a yep. version of that.
Yep, I have.
Maybe. So I don't know how much it lacks side grip, lateral grip. Maybe you do. I mean, is it that much of a
Well, factor? I seen the question come across, Ricky, and here's the way I look at it is F1 or any type of road racing, they have a wet tire, a rain tire. They have a rain tire. They have a medium compound. They have a hard compound, right? And those are up to the riders. And let's go to use a MotoGP, for example, or F1. Some guys will run a rain tire longer than they'll run their medium tire, or they'll be like, some guys will pull in, put their medium on while the track is still a little bit damp. Or one guy will say, hey, I'm better with my rain tire and I'm going to push it another five laps. And at that point, maybe we're going to put ourselves, it could work into our favor or it could work against us, because if the track dries out, then the rain tire is going to be garbage on a dry track. So here's the way I look at it is you're the rider. You're the one riding it. You know what tire you've put on your motorcycle. Now, let's use high point as an example. Everybody ran the scoop. You needed to run the scoop for probably 90% of the track and 100% of the start. But high point does have those areas on the track that gets that hard clay base that comes through that's very slippery. That is a rider error, in my opinion. You know what tire you've chosen. You know what's on the motorcycle. You have enough time and experience on that tire. You need to know where you can push that tire and where you cannot push that tire. That's rider error, in my opinion. It has nothing to do with injuries, this or that. Does it have less side grip? 100% it does. But you know, going into the race, it's not like you had a blindfold on and you jump on a motorcycle and then it's like, oh, I didn't know I had a scoop tire on. You knew exactly what tire was on going into that.
So be mindful in the areas where you know you're going to lack side grip.
Exactly.
Here's a great example. So when I was at Factory Honda, Dunlop, they work really hard at giving the best equipment, the best tire, and the best options possible. But I always ran the 756. It was an intermediate style rear tire.
Yep. I remember that number.
I can't remember what the hard pack one was, the number for it. But they would always try to encourage me to use that for the hard pack tires because it did have better traction in certain areas. But the reason that I didn't like it, RV, it wasn't dependable and it wasn't consistent. Like, I felt like sometimes when I was turning, it would be there and then it wouldn't be there. It was very unpredictable.
Yep.
So I would go to your point. I didn't like that. Right. So I didn't like something that wasn't predictable. So I would always run the 756. It had less grip, but it was predictable. I knew exactly how much it was going to spin in the hard, slippery areas, and I knew how much traction it wasn't going to get at all times.
Yep.
I was going to the line. I knew what I had in every scenario. And to your point, no, I don't think, to answer that guy's question, I don't think they need to get rid of the scoop. I think that the rider needs to be more aware of what he has into exactly the way you explained it. You know what you picked. Be mindful of the drawbacks that the tire has.
Yeah. And we had the same issue when I was racing. We had the Dunlop came out with the tire called a 62 and it had the carcass was very, very soft and you could feel the side of the rim. But I ran that tire at Phoenix. Well, yeah. Dunge and a lot of the other guys were running intermediate to more of a hard pack tire. And by 20, and this is 20 laps. Luckily we were only 20 laps then too, and not 20 minutes, because by the end of that 20 lap main event, I pulled and I ended up just inching out Brayton. I think I passed him with 2 laps to go or 1 lap to go at Phoenix. And we came off the track and I probably had 40% of my knobs were left on that tire, but I knew exactly where that tire was good and where it wasn't and how consistent it was. And I chose that tire knowing, and even Brian at Dunlop's like, dude, you're going to have no knobs left. And I'm like, yes, but I know that I can ride my motorcycle the fastest up until I have no knobs left.
Yeah.
And maybe we can make it through the race. And I said, I know it's only going to come up call it 3 laps short if that's the case. Cause I ran this tire in Corona a lot. Yeah. That's the only tire I ever ran. So I was very familiar with it and it made it till the end of the race with about 40% of the knobs gone. And I won the race, but I knew what I was getting myself into.
That is awesome. That is that's a hell of a story. You guys are getting, RV is dropping the gold for us today. I mean, that's the way it is. And I feel like some of the riders these days just aren't that aware. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are. And, you know, but I think it comes down to, you got to know what you have and there's a give and a take. Great questions. Appreciate it. You guys keep piling them on. We love answering them. We'll try to get through them through the week. And if you have any questions, you can hit RV's Instagram, my Instagram, whatever you need to do. Before we say goodbye and just give some thoughts up to Southwick, we got to thank our sponsors again. Quadlock Case, we appreciate you guys. Boxo USA, great company. They make great stuff, toolboxes, tools, you name it. Lifetime guarantee, super easy to get that processed as well. Check them out. online. And of course, United Motorsports, they got 6 locations across Ohio and in Kentucky. Just a great company, really involved the grassroots of things. And they got Boxo in there as well. If you want a 10% discount, you can use the promo code TITLE24. That's site wide for United Motorsports, Boxo, and Quadlock. So check them out. We appreciate you guys. Let's see here. Next weekend, we are going to Southwick. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. You and I have done really well there. Myself personally, even though I'd done really well there, I didn't like racing there.
We can elaborate on Southwick just a little bit, pre-Southwick, pre-show here. Ricky, I think we could see some big upsets here at Southwick. Southwick is, I think, one of the it's probably the, and this is why I think that, especially for the rookies that haven't gone to Southwick, it's a different track. And I know Hayden's been there, in some practice days and things like that. But when you show up for the national, it's different. It's, I think it's a very unique and can be a very tough track to ride if you're not 100% flow. And I mean, 100% flow, have the flow on that track. You're never going straight for very long. It's got a pretty hard sand base to it, which we're going to run everybody's going to run the paddle again, and it's great in a straight line. And then I know the new paddle is better on a lean, but still Southwick, you're never going straight very long. It gets very rough. It could be hot, humid. I think it's going to be a great race weekend. I don't think Jet's going to get upset because I just think he's going to do what Jet has done in the past. Yeah. But as for the lights class, I think we could see some riders swapping out in position finishes compared to what we've seen in the past.
Hey, I'm for it. I'm all for some drama, no doubt. I will say this is that track caters to the physically fit. I think if you're not physically fit, you're going to have your hands full all day. I have yet to look at the weather. If the weather is hot, that's just going to put more emphasis on the guys that are fit and who aren't. And so I think like some of the veterans, to your point, can rely on what they know, how that track develops. And maybe if they're in better shape, they're going to do a little bit better for sure. The rookies are going to have their hands full. Most likely there's a lot of unknowns there. But I just, that 250 class, it's like musical chairs outside the top three. It really is. So,
I mean, and you got Hunter's first overall win at Southwick, and not to mention, let's see who comes off the couch that just is a local boy that hangs out at Southwick that can put that up in the top 10 somewhere, you know, maybe, especially in practice. We know in practice, we're going to see some names out. You're like, who's this guy?
Yeah, I know. Right. There's a, Tony LaRusso in my day was one of those dudes. He would always come up.
There you go.
He'd be running up front and like, he was good rider, but especially good at Southwick. But yeah, that is definitely a local track, and the locals come out, the local area riders, New England, come out.
Yeah. Looks like we have a high of 87 and the scattered thunderstorms.
Uh oh. 87's getting a little toasty.
It is.
Especially
once you add the humidity in.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's going to be a good one. Big week on NBC as far as motorsports go. Remember, you got to check SMX Insider with Wheeze and JT. Comes out Thursday at 2 p.m. on YouTube. Saturday, Pro Motocross will be at Southwick. We just talked about that. Race Day Live starts at 10 a.m. Eastern on Peacock. Then the first two motos. This is key right here. You can see it is on NBC. The first motos at 1 p.m. Eastern this Saturday on NBC. It's going to be awesome. And then, of course, Peacock. Then the finals will be on Peacock exclusively. So make sure you tune in live to NBC and check out the first motos. Then go over to the Xfinity race. It's going to be in Atlanta this weekend. It's on USA. That's at 7:30. So that'll be 7:30 Saturday night. And, of course, you can see right there, Sunday, 12 p.m., IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. That's going to be on big NBC. And then NASCAR Cup Series goes to Atlanta Motor Speedway. That's 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. I know I will be home definitely watching that. So a big week in motorsports on NBC. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to get back to Southwick. Should be a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing you there as well. We'll have to get out for some food and a beverage. Maybe yep. our boss here from Title 24, we can lean on his credit card, and he can we'll put his credit card to good use, and he'll do it. But thank all you, right. everyone, so much to all of our great sponsors. Remember, you can check us out. It's on Peacock On Demand, NBC's YouTube page, on Motorsports YouTube page, and all the applications for your podcast, wherever you guys listen to it. Make sure you subscribe and like and send those questions in, and we'll do it again next week. So RV, look forward to seeing you in Southwick. I'm about to get on this plane and head back to the real world.
That's right. That's right. Well, have a good one. I'm heading out to Glen Helen to do a little riding myself for the first time in a long time. So I should be sore tomorrow on the plane. That'll be nice.
Keep the shiny side up. Well, are you training for the two-stroke race?
I'm actually just going out to ride a new motorcycle, one of the new Yamahas that have come out. So, all right, it should be a good time. I get a little sneak peek on it, get a little seat time before anybody else.
That a boy. All right, my man. We'll had a good one. Like I said, everyone, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.